Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If the God of the Bible really exists, I would go gladly to hell. And anybody happy to go to heaven to worship such a creature is morally bankrupt.
It is because God's wrath is real that his mercy is relevant. Unless you have a real wrath, the biblical concepts of mercy and of grace are robbed of their meaning.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The following program is not necessarily endorsed by this station, but is provided for informational purposes only. Information provided should not be used as a substitute for your own physician's advice.
Indeed, this is Wretched Radio. Nevertheless, not playing a doctor on TV, radio, or frankly, anywhere else. Well, except with my kids when they were younger. Isn't it amazing how they look at you as if you are Marcus Welby? You'll have to Google that reference. They looked at you like you could cure anything. And these days with the Google machine, you pretty much can, can't you?
Oh, my goodness. No, the Google machine.
No, my kids think I'm actually going to kill them whenever they have some type of injury.
Okay, then. Maybe we need to talk about some things because I think most children just trust. Can I drink this? They just offer it to you like, you know.
Sure.
Is this past its expiration date? You give it the sniff test. Yep, drink it. And then they just assume the milk is fine. And isn't that an ongoing situation in all of our lives? The dreaded milk sniff.
Oh, yeah.
Every single time somebody in the house, and it's really just me and Mrs. Friel. The point is somebody goes for the milk, smells it, and it's the milk around the top of the nozzle that can get a little funky, and it can deceive you. And so inevitably you go, oh, smell this, which is just an act of kindness, if you don't mind me saying so. Even though Don't Play a Doctor any place would like to offer you at least what's being reported as medical news, because this may be important for you, dear Christian. Whilst there are other consideration when it comes to taking the vaccine, especially if it's mandated for the old COVID affair, one of the issues appears to be taken care of. I think that there are three very legitimate concerns that a Christian can have when it comes to the COVID vaccine. We laid these out, by the way, in a presentation that we did. It's about an hour long, just a step-by-step, what do we need to noodle through when it comes to considering a vaccine that the government might mandate everybody take, and they might, depending on how all this monkey business goes. One of the considerations, of course, was, is it something that's going to do more harm than good? Is it something that has been tested? Is it something that the experts who work in this field say, yes, it has met the typical protocol? You're going to have to figure that out for you and your family. This has been a rush to market sort of affair. And I think that there's been a two-step process in this. One of the steps I think we can have reasonable confidence in. The other step, I don't know how we can at this moment. The first step is, are the people who are preparing this vaccine doing the job well? Are they trying to create something that is kind of just slapped together? Let's just get this little piggy to market. Or are they doing a good job? And I don't have any reason at the moment as I stand here to believe anybody is being nefarious about it. These are people who dedicate their lives, whether they are Christian or not, to trying to do good. And so I don't think there's any reason to think anybody is trying to harm you and your family. That's step one. But step two is, what about the testing of this? My understanding is about 40-some thousand people have already been given the vaccine with supposedly no side effects. And that's promising, but my understanding, and please note, I am not your local epidemiologist. Please note that typically vaccines, it's about a 5 to 8 year process for testing to see what the side effects might be. You're going to have to figure that out should the federal government come knock, knock, knocking on your door and telling you to roll up your sleeve and the sleeves of your children. That's one of the considerations. There is another consideration that I believe that Christians have, and that is, and you're going to have to figure this out for you, I figure it out for me, is it a legitimate concern? Why put something into your body if it's not? Some would say. Others would say, well, of course it is. Take the shot. I think that different Christians are going to come to different conclusions. Aren't we already? And I think that's a valid consideration. However, the third consideration seems to definitely be taken off of the table. Pfizer, the vaccine that is being reported these days as being 90% safe, has been manufactured without fetal stem cells. That has been a very big concern for those of us who are pro-life. Not those of us who say we're pro-life but tell you to vote for anybody you want to. No, I'm talking about genuinely pro-life. We've been very concerned about this. You do not want to be participating in the intentional taking of an innocent human life. It appears, according to the Charlotte Lozier Institute, an arm of the pro-life Susan B. Anthony list, says Pfizer and its German partner BioNTech did not use stem cells from aborted fetuses during research for the vaccine. That's good news. Please note, there are, however, other competitors. This is like the Kentucky Derby, and you've got more horses in the race. Most of them, my understanding is most of them, if I recall, about a dozen of them, I think there are 17, a dozen of them don't use aborted stem cells. Five do. Right now, the leader, the secretariat in the race from Pfizer, has not used aborted stem cells. The vaccine was developed using genetic sequencing on computers without using fetal cells. Well, there's a blessing of computers. It takes one to try to figure this stuff out. Isn't it amazing how all of this should be screaming, God, 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 and yet all of these brilliant people who work on things like this don't take a moment to stop and look up. You need a computer to figure out the correct sequencing for putting together a cure. How do you think we got put together? How do you think this whole universe is designed? By chance? Outrageous. The Pfizer study, still ongoing, involved 43,000, oh, there's your number right there, 43,538 participants, and no serious safety concerns have been observed. And I do believe it's fair to put a comma there and say, yet. In the meantime, it appears you don't have to worry about the aborted stem cells with this particular line. But I'll tell you something that you can worry about medically. Hey, guess who? President-elect. Apparently that's an office now.
Office of the President-elect.
Yes, the office of the President-elect.
He has a sign and everything.
I know, I saw that. But Barack Obama had that sign too, y'all.
Yeah, I wonder if he'd let him borrow.
Yes. They're probably not going to be that frugal. Yeah. They print up a new one and owe the cost of that bad boy. You know, the efficiency of the government. Joe Biden is going to be tapping into Zeke Emanuel. Name ring a bell? That's right. It's the brother of Rahm, the former chief of staff of Barack Obama, to be on the COVID-19 task force. Oh, boy, that's exciting. Would you like to hear a quote from this fellow?
Let's hear it.
And if you feel a cool breeze, it's not external. It's a shuddering sort of chill. Unlike allocation by sex or race, allocation by age is not invidious discrimination. So, this is just amazing to me. He's going to try to build the case that it's okay to not offer health care to people who are old.
How
old? And yet calling it not invidious discrimination. I don't know exactly how he gets there, but let's try to track it, shall we? Every person lives through different life stages rather than being a single age. Even if 25-year-olds receive priority over 65-year-olds, well, you see, there, what you're doing right there is you are classifying who is worthy of health care. Everyone who is 65 now used to be 25. Ah.
That's true.
It's a brilliant observation. Treating 65-year-olds differently because of stereotypes or falsehoods would be ageist. Treating them differently because they have already had more life is not. isn't that the same thing, just phrased a little differently?
Exactly.
Unbelievable. So this fellow basically has been been telling folks that there will be discrimination when it comes to treatment for COVID. Furthermore, this is a fellow, you would think he loves life. He's been very successful. Would just as soon die by the time he's 75. Well, sir, you can make that decision for yourself. But as for me and my house, we like life. He, by the way, perhaps has forgotten that the man he's working for is 78. You see, I'm not good at math, but I just know 78 is more than 75. Here's the simple truth, he said. Many of us seem to resist. Living too long is a loss. It renders many of us, if not disabled, then faltering and declining, a state that may not be worse than death, but is deprived. It robs us of our creativity. People don't remember us the same way. We are ineffectual, even pathetic. What are the implications of that? Well, it is absolutely fine for you to take your own life if you feel you've reached that stage, and one can't help but wonder if he wouldn't be willing to make that decision for us. Thank you. Thank you, evangelicals who encouraged us to vote for just anybody. Thank you. This is Wretched Radio. And now, a story from Dr. John MacArthur.
When I began preaching many years ago, expositional messages, they started circulating the earth on cassette tape. Pretty soon, I started getting invitations from places all around the world to preach there. And people said, we haven't heard preaching like this. Can you teach us how? And eventually, they would say, can you stay and start a school and train our pastors? And now it's developed into maybe 35 different places where the graduates of the Master's Seminary have now set up training schools to train pastors around the world. And it's expanding to the point where I think we have 50 cities waiting for us to come and do the same thing there.
Specifically waiting for you to consider adopting a seminary overseas. Master's Seminary graduates equipping men to fill pulpits and rightly divide the word of truth. It's a magnificent ministry. Encourage you to learn more and consider supporting the Master's Academy International at wretched.org/pastor.
Hey, it's another day and another Wretched Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining us for this edition of Wretched Radio. We certainly appreciate your time. Every month, Wretched sends out a newsletter. If you haven't already signed up for that, it covers tough theological issues and keeps you up to date on all things new at Wretched. You'll receive updates on not only what's happening at Wretched, but you'll also receive thorough and in-depth messages on a wide range of theological issues that Christians face today. Sign up for the Wretched newsletter if you haven't done so already. You do that at wretched.org/newsletter. That's wretched.org/newsletter. And while you're on our website, take a look at becoming a gospel partner. It's gospel partners that make everything we do at Wretched possible. We would love for you to pray about and consider becoming a monthly partner with Wretched. Your faithful and consistent support will help Wretched reach millions of people all around the world. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Not that we normally quote Joseph Stalin on Wretched, nevertheless, he rightly said the death of one man is a tragedy. The death of millions is a statistic. We have to be so careful that our Christian hearts don't grow cold when we hear the statistic that 1 million babies die every year from abortions. We need to remember that is one baby at a time. That is one mommy. That is one child. That is even one daddy.
My choice to become a mom and hear those little footsteps running down the hallway every morning is all because I had an ultrasound. It saved my life and hers.
Ultrasounds save lives, one baby at a time. How many ultrasounds could you provide through preborn.org/wretched for just $28 per ultrasound? Please help save one baby at a time. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like inerrancy. The Bible is the word of God, and God cannot err. Therefore, the Bible is without error. We know that God has revealed himself truthfully in the pages of Scripture.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Not sure what I'm supposed to talk about. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, there's something. It's catching my mind here.
Wonder what that is.
I have no idea. How did you do that?
Well, you know.
It's magic.
That's black magic.
It's Harry Potter?
Yeah, witchcraft.
It's Road Trip to Truth is somehow behind you in monstrously big letters.
You can't miss it.
Is that a subtle sort of reminder for to talk about Road Trip to Truth? Hoping that you will get Road Trip to Truth for your youth group. Why? Because the kids, oh boy. Hey, Mike.
Yes, sir.
You told me this yesterday.
Yep.
There's actually a Christian school that's going to be using Road Trip when?
They are. They're planning to use it during their chapel time, and they're not the only school that's asked about it, so it's really encouraging to see schools picking this up.
Way cool.
Yeah.
Way cool. It is. We are just so pumped about this because Road Trip to Truth, it's produced super sweet. It just looks like quality production because it actually is, and it lays out a case for each of these Christian subjects in a way that isn't heavy-handed. Does the gospel get preached in every episode? Yeah, but it builds toward it, and it's just a very natural presentation so that it really has some smack inside of each one of the 13 presentations. Just telling you, it is an outstanding resource. It has a study guide. Please check it out. You can watch a ton of clips, and you can see for yourself, and maybe use it for your Sunday school, your youth group, and even adult Sunday school. It wouldn't hurt them. Believe me, you can find it at wretched.org/roadtrip, wretched.org/roadtrip. And if you'd be so kind, please subscribe for all of the different social media where we want to get these clips out. You know how the social media thing works. Everybody forwards it, and then all of a sudden a million people see it, and it can become a really important video. And we want that to happen with Road Trip to Truth videos. So if you, dear wretched person, have not subscribed for the YouTube, the Facebook, or the Instagram platforms, would you please just look up Road Trip to Truth, subscribe, and start sharing videos. These are going to impact lives. We were just looking at one yesterday. It was the episode with Shy Lin, the rapper fellow, talking about the issue of suicide and the issue of hope and purpose and shame and guilt. I'm telling you, there will be kids sitting in your youth group who will benefit from hearing this. There are kids in your youth group who have done shameful things. Well, not my little 7th and 8th grade dumplings. Yeah, or sadly, a shameful thing has been done to them. Or they're just getting bullied constantly. Or they just don't feel like they have any friends. We tackle the subject of loneliness. It will help somebody to have absolute joy. And by the way, speaking of joy, I was reminded again last night in reading the Bible.
That's where you can find a lot of joy.
I'm telling you, I can tell you what happened in a 30-second TV commercial I saw 8 days ago. For the first time. I can't even tell you. Okay, so I'm reading the Bible last night. Oh, I know what it was. I think it was 1 John is where I was. 1 John, by the way, if you haven't made your way through 1 John, here's a challenge for you. If you're looking for something to kind of give your 78 hours of daily private quiet time a little boost, go through 1 John with some index cards or just a highlighter and start highlighting all of the pithy, quotable, powerful little phrases. 1 John is just loaded with them, and especially for the situation of evangelism. I'm amazed at how many different quotes there are inside of 1 John that are like, whoa, that would be really helpful. And I actually use that. All right, let's see if I can find it here. Yeah. Ha! Ha! I'm sorry, did that sound
ha!
Self-satisfied?
Just like chance. That.
All right, that which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. Remember, Christianity is an eyewitness faith. This is not a blind faith. P- People saw Jesus die. People saw Jesus rise from the dead. Think of the most obvious execution that you can today. And let's just say you saw that execution. So use your own imagination for what you think that would be. There's just, you would go, there's no doubt the dude is dead. And then 3 days later, he shows up at your house. You'd go, what just happened here? Now, you could, like so many skeptics do, try to say, well, that was just an illusion. That didn't really happen. Those types of David Copperfield tricks couldn't be performed back then. You saw it. You knew beyond the shadow of a doubt, dead man. Now walking, that is what John is talking about. He saw them, the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen. Okay, repetition. I'm picking it up already. Did you hear all the scenes? I think there's been three so far. We've seen it. We've seen it. We've seen it. It was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Here it is, verse 4. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. What is he getting at? Well, he's giving one of the thesis statements of 1 John, because there are a number of them, actually. I think the big one is in 1 John 5, 13. I write these things that you might know that Jesus is the Christ, and in believing you might have life. But he also is setting it up. I'm writing these things, these tests for you to determine that you are genuinely in the faith, that you are walking in the truth, believing what we have seen and declared to you, so that you can have joy. God wants you to have joy. He doesn't want you biting your nails through an election. He doesn't want you with angst week after week after week. He wants you to have joy. God does not have angst. We shouldn't either. God is the God of joy, and he wants us to have it too. Now, should you be lacking joy? Should you be regularly lacking assurance? Several nights ago, in my 842 hours of daily private quiet time, was reading this that I thought might be very helpful for you if you are struggling with the issue of assurance. How do you get that? There are many different ways that you can. This is one of those ways. But Peter makes a connection here between how you are living and how you are feeling. If you are living in a way where you are being obedient, that you are growing in acts of Christian kindness, charity, you're telling the truth when you used to lie, you don't lust, you've made a covenant with your eyes, you're kind to people when you used to be bitter. That's what he tells you is a surefire way to have more assurance and to have joy, that your life speaks to your brain. Your actions tell you, wait a second, devil, I'm not going to doubt this. I know I'm a Christian. Look at how God has changed me. Want assurance? Here it is, verse 5. But also for this very reason, give diligence to your faith. So in other words, if you're lacking assurance, you got to go to work on it. This is not a let go and let God sort of affair. You be diligent. Add to your faith. Now here comes a list of things to do. Virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. So start doing those things. Get on it. Work out your salvation. For if these things, verse 8, are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The connection here between being an obedient believer and a rock-solid, assured believer is very tight. Continues. For he who lacks these things, what things? Those acts of kindness. And this is the crucial part of this little section. Is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Do you know what that is right there? That's the foundation. That's the rocket fuel that gets you off of the launch pad of doubt. You should be doing stuff, but only as you remember what you have been saved from, how you have been cleansed, how you have been sanctified, how you have been adopted, how you are fully justified, how you are now the righteousness of Christ. You think on that. That's your motivation. Act on it, and guess what? You will have assurance, which is what John is talking about all throughout his 5-chapter book, and that will give you joy. Please note, nothing that I have said indicates that your works bring you salvation. No, thinking about what Jesus has done through his work to bring you salvation, that's your motivation. Now you act it out, and guess what? You'll have assurance, and you will have joy. And please get Road Trip to Truth at wretched.org/roadtrip. Wow, that was a journey. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Higgs. Newly released data from an ongoing Pew Research Center study shows that government restrictions on religion around the world have risen to a record level amid increases in government restrictions on religion in Asia and Pacific countries, most notably. The nonpartisan polling organization published on Tuesday the results from its 11th annual study of restrictions on religion. The most recent data available is from 2018 through a study that rates 198 countries and territories by the level of government restrictions on religion and also levels of social hostilities toward religion in those countries. All of the studies over the last decade plus have been based on the same 10-point index. The study's Government Restrictions Index, or GRI, measures laws, policies, and actions that restrict religious beliefs and practices. The GRI features 20 measures of restrictions that include anything from efforts by the government to ban particular faiths to prohibiting conversion and providing preferential treatment to one or more religious groups. Pew researchers combed through more than 12 publicly available and widely cited sources of information, such as the U.S. State Department's annual reports on international religious freedom, as well as annual reports from the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom. Also, researchers referred to reports from several European and United Nations bodies. They also combed through reports from several independent non-governmental organizations. And according to Pew, the increase from 2017 to 2018 was relatively modest, but did help contribute to the substantial rise in government restrictions on religion over more than a decade. According to the study, 25 countries with high or very high government restrictions on religion are in the Asia-Pacific region, meaning that half of the countries in the region have high or very high levels of government restrictions on religion. In the Middle East and North Africa, 90% of the countries in the region have high or very high levels of government restriction on religion. The data found that 62% of countries, 31 out of 50 in Asia and the Pacific, experience government use of force related to religion. That tally of 31 is up from 26 in 2017. While the increase is largely due to concentrations of low-level government restrictions on religion in places like Armenia and the Philippines, the report stresses that the region also saw several instances of widespread use of government force against religious groups. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Higgs.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. The fall brought conflict into the world, but through Christ, God has brought peace into the world. Peace with God, peace with man, and peace with self. True peace is only known in Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Gotten tag. Don't laugh at me. Dies ist das Wretched Radio.
That's German, right?
Ich bin your host, Todd. Huh? That's right. That's German. Sort of. This is Wretched Radio. Very excited about this. There is a booklet you're probably not going to read. I just wanted to tell you about it because we're very, very excited. The Man Who Split Time has been translated into German. Look at this. Right there.
That's awesome.
In Deutsch, gentlemen. 22 proofs that Jesus Christ is God. Some dear brothers in Deutschland took it. They've translated it. and it will be printed even in Germany. So if you happen to need a transcript of this for any reason, 22 proofs that Jesus is God, just send a note to idea@wretched.org and we will send that off to you. You can use it as you see fit. Would you like me to read some of this, gentlemen?
Absolutely.
I'd love to hear you attempt it.
Not a chance. Don't mock me. And as long as we're giving away stuff, don't forget, the nice folks at the Masters Academy International want to give you a copy of Declaring His Glory Among the Nations. It is a 365-day devotional. And it's written by people who have been trained, men who have been trained around the world by the Masters Academy International. These are mini seminaries from the Masters Seminary in Los Angeles. They've written these. And the ones to me that are the most poignant, all of them are special because there are some in here from Germany. But there are some in here, for instance, this person is in Asia, name withheld for security. Whew. And we're worried about stuff, which might actually be reasonable, but they are living in a place that is very, very difficult. And they actually are being persecuted to the point of death. Be praying for your Christian brothers and sisters. If you would like this beauty of a book, it's seriously, they're just giving it to you. Visit wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor. Sign up and they'll send it off to you, declaring his glory among the nations. Look at us. We're just giving stuff away today. Except for this. We're not giving this away. Road Trip to Truth. I just found Jimmy and Mike, you've been doing some work, which I've actually been wondering about. Nevertheless,
it's a nice change of pace.
How did it feel, fellas?
Exhausting.
I didn't like it.
You prepared some clips from Road Trip to Truth. This happens to be from season 2. Why is it that we have made this resource available at wretched.org?
Is all truth valid truth?
Is all truth valid truth? Yeah, I would say so.
All truth valid truth, what you just said.
Yeah.
Let's say two people believe things that are completely opposed to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Is that possible for someone to be wrong about their truth?
No. Because your truth is your truth.
Let's say someone decides that it's okay to poke pencils into their friend's eyeballs.
Nice.
Is that truth? Is that
good? I wouldn't consider that truth. I consider that malicious.
Okay.
Childish. Even though you know it's your truth, you know it's common sense. You know it's common sense not to poke a pencil in somebody's eye.
In other words, it's wrong. And we wonder why kids, I'm not being cheeky about this at all. We wonder why kids are so desperately lost. This young man, he's simply spouting what he's been told. This has been funneled into this young man, and now he's trying to spew it out, and he has to grab a dictionary or a thesaurus to come up with other words to say the same thing because he realizes, no, it's always wrong to poke somebody in the eye with a stick. And yet they are told, no, you can't tell anybody they're wrong. It is so easily refutable. And yet you buy it. You've got to believe that. You better toe that line. Otherwise you're intolerant. What a lovely worldview postmodernism is. And our kids are getting filled with this glop, and it causes them, in my estimation, to be very confused. Where life is just a confusing, plotless, hopeless, irrelevant journey. Wouldn't you be a little depressed too? So this happens to be from episode 2, Road Trip to Truth, with John Fabares, the stick poker in the eye person, and Dr. Mike Riccardi.
Where does truth come from?
It comes from the heart and the mind.
Okay. I would say it's just a little bit incomplete. It's from the heart and the mind of God. If truth it just originates from the heart of man, who have we replaced God with? Ourselves. We're trying to elevate ourselves into the role of the sole arbiter of truth. That's a role that belongs to God, and it's why it's fundamentally not just wrong, it's rebellious. It's an act of saying, I want to be in the place of God.
Leave it to Mike to take that a step further. It's not just to think wrongly, it is to become a rebel. It's so important that we bring that to the conversation about truth. It's woefully lacking. I'm gonna add that when I start talking to people now about right and wrong, because postmodernism, it surfaces its double head regularly. And I think that there's more to chopping it off than just demonstrating. See, this this book, Declaring His Glory Among the Nations, isn't the same as the tumbler of coffee that I'm holding. They're not this. Now, I can believe they're the same thing, but they're not. Now, there's another aspect to this. When we are thinking dumbly, that's right, dumbly, we're not thinking like God. And when it comes to issues of morality, when we try to sort these things out by ourselves, then it is always rebellion. Consider this, Zeke, what was his name? Zeke Emanuel, the guy that supposedly Joe Biden is going to appoint to lead the COVID business. Can't wait for that. He wants to die by the time he's 75. He doesn't think certain people should get treated. We got to ration this stuff. Do the words death panels ring a bell? We used to kind of joke about those things, that those could be coming. Well, this is a guy who wants them. Why? Because his thinking isn't grounded in God. So not only is it bad, not only is it harmful, it's also rebellion. And that is an aspect we should probably bring to our witness encounters.
When we say, I'm absolutely certain of something, we either have to have all knowledge that would refute any counterclaim to the opposite, or we have to have revelation from someone who does have all knowledge. You say, I don't believe that God exists. Somebody who says that, I say, okay, so is it not possible that somewhere on the dark side of Pluto, there's evidence for a creator that we haven't found yet, that you haven't been made aware of yet? And most reasonable people are going to say, well, I suppose, given that I don't have knowledge of the dark side of Pluto. That's that person's lack of omniscience, his finite knowledge coming to bear on his uncertainty. What we're claiming, and why it sounds wrong to people today, is we can know things for certain and they automatically hear, oh, you know everything? You know the dark side of Pluto? You know that no evidence could possibly be brought to the contrary? And the answer is yes. Not because of a native omniscience, not because I've been granted some sort of secret knowledge, but because the God who knows all things, even the dark side of Pluto, has given us his mind in a reliable revelation that we have in the Bible. And he's told us certain things in there. Not everything, yep, but certain things. And so I can be absolutely certain about those things.
And then we go about the business of dealing with the objections that people have to believing that the Bible is the book of all knowledge that we need from the mind of all knowledge. Road Trip to Truth. You can find it, wretched.org/roadtrip. This is another example. And I think that it's funny because until I actually listened to what Mike Riccardi just said, this did not run through my mind. Statistic, U.S. divorce rate hits 50-year low. And that's supposedly great news for Americans. And it is, interestingly enough, a little side note, because of the COVID business, they're expecting to see a spike in divorces because of COVID. But remember, don't worry, it's not death. Okay, there's more anti-God bad thinking. Nevertheless, the divorce rate appears to be going down a little bit. The lowest rate since 1970. Not a banner year, but this was the statistic that I thought was even more interesting. The marriage rate has continued to decline in 2019. Got to do some math here. For every 1,000 married adults in 2019... only 33 got married. Whoa. That number was 35 a decade ago. And in 1970, the number was 86. We've cut the marriage rate by half. We have cut back on marriage because of a myriad of reasons. But let's not forget what we just heard from Mike Riccardi. These are people who tell you divorce, it's just fine. There's nobody's fault, which is about as hysterical as any oxymoron that you could possibly concoct. Really? The divorce is nobody's fault. Then it seems to me they'd be staying married. Nevertheless, we're seeing fewer people get married, and that's a bad thing. But it's more than that. It's a rebellious thing. Granted, not everybody is supposed to get married, but most are. That's the more normative, although it's not unnormal to not be married. That's the biblical understanding. This is rebellion because marriage is transcendent. It's a picture of God. And so don't forget, when we live in a culture that gets divorced nilly-willy, that refuses to get married so they can live any way that they want to, very selfishly and in a self-centered way, it's not just bad for them. It's not just bad for culture. It's rebellion against God. Can't forget that element. This is Wretched Radio. No doubt many of your kitchen table conversations have involved health insurance. Mrs. Friel and I used to talk about it a lot, but not since we joined MediShare, Biblical Health Sharing. Over 400,000 Christians sharing each other's medical expenses so far to the tune of $4 billion. You can be confident they can handle your medical bills too. An average family through MediShare will save approximately $500 per month, and you'll be able to sleep at night. And right now, they're waiving their application fee during the month of November, which just might be open enrollment time for you. Please, maybe it's time for you to reconsider how you protect yourself and family. To learn more about MediShare, visit MediShare.com/wretched, MediShare.com/wretched, or call their nice folks, 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE.
It's here! It's here! Road Trip to Truth is finally here! We know you've been waiting patiently, but it is finally here! Join host John Ferbarez on his journey to find answers on the topics of evolution, depression, the reliability of the Bible, the existence of God, and of course, truth itself. Not only can you purchase the 13 full-length episode show, you can also purchase the Bible study course, perfect for middle schoolers through adults. Don't believe us? Maybe you'll take Tim Challey's word for it. He says, quote, "For too long, too much of the material prepared for young folk has been insultingly shallow and embarrassingly trite. What makes it even worse is that many young people are crying out for solid content while their youth leaders serve them nonsense. I'm thankful that Road Trip to Truth unashamedly and effectively deals with real, meaty, life-changing truths of the Christian faith." So visit roadtriptotruth.org and get your copies. That's roadtriptotruth.org.
Uh-huh. And you didn't think it was worth your time to pay attention in geography class.
I'm thinking about a village that we visited called Pirasmani. It took us about 4 hours to get there, and the road was so bumpy that we were a couple of basket cases by the time we got there. But you know what? There were 35 kids waiting there for us. They have no church in this village. Talk about an unreached place, and we're now operating a tomorrow club in that place.
You and I could not find that place on a map of Eastern Europe, but tomorrow clubs do, and they go, and they bring the gospel, and kids are getting saved. They're bringing the gospel home to parents, and churches are being started or revitalized. Would you please consider supporting your own tomorrow clubs? $30 per month will disciple 30 kids in places you and I couldn't even find on a map. Tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. John was a disciple and close friend of Jesus. John's gospel presents Jesus as the Word become flesh, God in human form. He also emphasizes belief in Christ as the only way, truth, and life. God writes so that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and by believing, we may have life in His name. Believe in Jesus today and have life everlasting. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This ought to be interesting, or a complete car wreck.
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
This is Wretched Radio. Prepare to play one of America's fastest growing game sensations. Not the only one, but one of... Ooh, this is a popular game. You be the judge with two new judges.
Jurors.
The guy who sits in judgment.
That's us.
It is you. Have we done this before, gentlemen?
It's been a long time.
Well, so this isn't your first You Be the Judge rodeo.
No, not at all.
So you know how the game is played. You represent the tens and tens of people listening. I'm going to share a story. You render a verdict. Are you prepared,
Ready, gentlemen?
Yes.
A post from the Cripplegate. You need to know who these people are. The Cripplegate are all seminary graduates from the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles, California. In other words, they're not theological schlubs. Furthermore, they're not mainstream evangelical softies. No. You cut them, they bleed Bibline. These are Bible guys. Please remember that. Question. Is it worth it to post about politics?
Oh, man.
Oh, man is exactly right. And what the author of this particular article does is set it up to remind us with whom we are dealing. Now, I grant you, this is an anecdote, but I think it's a somewhat fair representation of a whole lot of folks. All right, gentlemen, can you actually see? I'm going to hold that up to the camera. Can you see what that says?
I'm familiar with the picture.
All right, so describe the picture, if you'd be so kind.
So that is Trump being followed by Jesus as Jesus escorts him to, I believe, the gates of hell.
Yeah, it says, quote, this is Jesus now, from somebody's meme. I don't usually walk people to the gates of hell, but I decided to make a special exception this time. Mm. Oh, I'm feeling, hold on, wait a second. I'm just basking in the unity right now that I'm told we're supposed to have now that they think they've won. Just staggering.
Gotta have unity.
So apparently, Donald Trump is the exception to Jesus walking somebody to hell. So Pol Pot, no. Stalin, Genghis Khan didn't get his hand held all the way to the gates of Sheol. No, just Donald Trump. That is half of our country. Okay, not everybody there is that nasty, but it's a fair representation of a lot of people who aren't saved. Remember, we must always look beyond political categories. There are only two camps of people on this planet, and it is not R or D. It's not elephant or donkey. It's not pink or blue. It is not oppressor oppressed. It's saved and unsaved.
Right.
That's it. Those are the categories for us. And so this person happens to clearly be in the latter category, the unsaved. And they post something like this because they hate the current president that much. Remember the question from Cripplegate, is it worth it to post about politics? He writes this. They are absolutely irrational for thinking these things. But what it exposes is that they cannot be brought to reason in this area. The question is, should we be posting political things?
I'm going to say no.
No at all. Well, see, I think you just jumped the gun there, Judge.
Okay, I might have. I didn't listen to all the evidence.
Well, that's not important these days. You just need to see a meme or a tweet and you can render a verdict. That makes
that's
us
right.
An expert on pretty much everything, doesn't it? But these are the point that he's trying to make here in Cripplegate is that you're dealing with irrationality.
Yeah.
Will a meme about the fact that there wasn't a water main break in Georgia to halt the counting of ballots. There was no work order called, and it appears that it was a little dribble. It appears totally overblown and a farce. Oh, I guess Jesus isn't going to be walking Donald Trump to hell. That's not going to happen is the point. You're probably not going to persuade those folks about anything. And that's why I think you should take your chit back, Mike.
Okay.
Because you might, possibly a little change your mind. All right, back to the Cripplegate. I believe that when you post something to defend your favorite politician or to mock the other side, you are potentially wasting a future opportunity to win an election?
No.
Have them not burn down your house?
No.
Preach the gospel?
Yes.
That's the one right there.
Yeah.
That is the big prize. And there's no doubt this is a tricky balance. I seem to see either or. Isn't that typical for us evangelicals? It's this or it's that. Rarely do we tend to balance things, and so many issues in our lives, they do require balance. I'm not talking about a compromise in theology or morality. I'm talking about balance because there's this and there's also that. And it's not that they're both right. It just demands that we just weigh these issues a little bit. Are politics totally irrelevant?
No.
No. They have big implications. I promise you they have big implications. For instance, here's a headline. Biden planning to reverse Trump's pro-life policies by executive orders. Oh, that's really cool. So babies will die. Furthermore, the reversing of the Trump administration's pro-life policies, Joe Biden has also promised to rescind a Trump administration executive order that restricts the teaching of critical race theory. Remember that?
Yes.
Inside of government institutions, they were teaching critical race theory, which they're teaching, by the way, to your kids probably in high school and university as we speak. Donald Trump said, this is so bad for America, not going to do it. In the meantime, the evangelical church, we open up our sensitive arms and we welcome critical race theory in. And it is a bad ideology. Joe Biden, he's going to allow it to be taught again. It's basically an anti-America worldview. It paints everything about this country as bad, and there are only two types of people, oppressor and oppressed.
So you're saying that critical race theory is not helpful in interpreting the Bible. Is that what I hear?
Just tinkling off in the distance, maybe just a little bit like a bell, more like a gong. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless... These are big issues that need to be considered. And that's why I'm just so glad that the evangelical intelligentsia told us these things just don't matter how you vote. Thank you. Thank you, brilliant minds. Thank you. These are important issues. And yet, there's eternal issues. So we've got to find a balance here. And what I see is totally get out of politics. Totally get out of it. That's not right. Don't think about it. Don't, you can't affect a change anyway. No, that's not right. These are big issues, and they impact us in real ways. On the other side of the scale, you've got eternal issues, obviously more important. And that means we need to weigh them, not jettison one for the other. And that's what I tend to see happening here. Back to the Cripplegate. Mocking Biden for having mental issues, laughing at Kamala Harris's laugh, exposing the hypocrisy of the left. All these things are all over Christian feeds. Some of it is funny, much to agree with or to be concerned by. Some of it is tempting to share and like. I just wonder if it's all worth it. 1 Corinthians 5:16, Paul says he strives not to regard anyone according to the flesh. In other words, he sees souls, people who will spend eternity in one of two places. And one of them ain't good. I wonder, writes the Cripplegate, if we consider the fact that what we post online will be seen by souls, hell-bound souls. Are we shooting ourselves in the foot in the long term? That is a very good question. Now, here's why I think there's some other consideration. Who's on your feed? Who does see it? Do you have anybody who's an unbeliever? How many? Are they all rock solid in your political musings? They have the exact same position you do? Or could you be tripping them up over a bigger agenda? They write, these souls will, wrongly, most likely because of false media, think that you are a racist, homophobic, intolerant, hater, fascist. They'll dismiss you entirely. They will not be willing to listen to you and allow you to explain. It is not worth it to lose a relationship over politics. It is, however, eternally worth it to lose a relationship over the gospel. So that is the presentation by the Cripplegate. Gentlemen,
you be the judge.
What do you say? Is it ever wise to post politics on social media? Make it snappy.
I'm going to be more hesitant.
Yeah?
Hmm. Yeah.
Why?
Because of what you just read.
Yeah? More hesitant, but maybe not stop.
Yes, correct.
All right, so finding a balance.
Finding
Jimmy
balance.
Jam, what do you say?
No, I think it's important. I think it's, there, like you said before, there are eternal issues at stake, especially the article that you read about Biden planning to reverse Trump's pro-life.
it's huge deals here.
Yeah.
So let's perhaps not veer from one ditch to the other, and let's just find a correct balance and help, I criticize, help each other to do so. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.